DW. Piski was once known as the playground for Donetsk's rich, with its holiday homes and million-dollar mansions. Today, Piski resembles more of an apocalyptic ghost town with hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damage. Happy homes have been reduced to rubble. Buildings are riddled with bullet holes. Tattered clothing, dishes, toys all spill out of broken windows and off of collapsing balconies into overgrown gardens below. The communal playground now sits silent. The laughter of children has gone quiet. You can envision the ghosts of countless memories here. I spent the day weaving through the weeds, rubble, and garbage with Oleg, a young major from western Ukraine. He's been the deputy commander of the battalion in Piski for 3 months.
In 2014,
Piski was the epicenter of fighting, especially during the battles for the Donetsk airport. Here, we had a frontline base, so all the supply convoys were dispatching from right here. Due to that, we had very destructive fighting here in 2014 and 2015.
Piski sits less than a kilometer away from territory now under separatist control and remains a volatile frontline. Soldiers have taken over crumbling manors. Prior to the conflict, more than 2,000 people resided here, with more than 1,000 visiting regularly. Today, 12 remain. Their houses are identified by the yellow spray paint on rubble out front that reads, "People live here."
Yes, we have 12 civilians living here, basically 6 to 7 families, mostly cared for by the civilian military cooperation groups, food, social help, like to shuttle them somewhere to collect cash from the ATM, or to buy food, or to visit the pharmacy, also medical care. That all is the civilian military cooperation group's responsibility.
Seventy-year-olds Anatoly and Svetlana are a chatty couple. Other than the occasional soldier and NGO worker, they don't get many visitors. Their house is one of the few still in one piece, and they take great pride in the 2 beehives and chickens they've managed to keep alive. Luckily, the house is tucked back away from the front line. Yet, they are still subject to the activity there.
See? This landed just over here. Good God!
Anatoly, a Ukrainian army vet, directs me to a Grad missile sticking out of his back lawn. As he tugs on it, I take a step back.
It dug in a bit, but I dug it out. You see, this is the nozzle and the combustion chamber. It looks like an engine.
There are certainly risks here, he says, but the couple decided to stay, having just spent everything they had renovating. However, they always have their bags packed. They usher me inside their cramped little house and take a seat on the old couch come bed that takes up much of the living room.
People started to leave slowly, but when we were shelled, people started to move out faster. The Donetsk People's Republic sent us several buses. I don't remember how many, probably up to 4. They were telling us, "Everyone willing, please leave, because it's going to get really bad here."
Nearly everyone did leave. Some have stayed on the separatist side, others have returned to areas controlled by the Ukrainian government. Many have kept in touch.
In the first year, neighbors used to call us to check if their houses were still intact, asking us if it had been destroyed or not. People may be living somewhere else, but they are still curious about their property. They were telling us to stay safe, and I told them that everything was safe. What else could I say?
As he chuckles, he grabs his wife's hands and looks her square in the eyes. Across the street lives a woman with her disabled son, but Svetlana says they keep to themselves, and the other 8 Piski residents live in a part of town the elderly couple don't go.
The others who are still living here, they are living on the other side, at the other end of the lake. They are near the church. That end of Pisky is the front line.
Anatolian Svetlana rely on limited electricity from the soldiers' generators, and NGOs help them with food. Life is very simple and redundant, but they've got used to it, they say.
We already have our schedule. We know that between 9 and 11 there will be no incoming shelling, and outgoing shelling is almost the same schedule. We have a computer. We are on the phone every day, but we do not have the internet.
We have two daughters. One moved to Russia with her family. The second one is here in Donetsk. But we can't go and visit her with all these checkpoints.
Four provisional border crossings have been set up along the dividing line. Thousands of people cross daily, leading to long delays. Neither one of them follows the politics of it anymore.
Both sides are lying. I don't trust any of them.
Although I got the feeling, despite being a Ukrainian army vet, Anatoly supports the separatist side, blaming much of the country's woes on the government in Kiev. A week-long ceasefire has largely been holding, yet we could still hear the sounds of shelling well in Pisky that day. Major Olag confirms that the guns have not gone quiet.
All these ceasefires are ridiculous. We have a ceasefire. We had the Minsk agreement recently, but yesterday there was an offensive attempt on us.
As the battle between the Ukrainian army and rebel separatists continues, Pisky remains a disputed territory. But for the very few who remain here, like Anatoly and Svetlana, all they want is a return to the vibrant community it used to be, regardless of who's in control. Natalie Carney for DW in Pisky, Eastern Ukraine.
This report was brought to you by DW.